Hey, Orthopreneurs, it's Dr. Glenn Krieger here, and let me tell you, the Orthopreneurs 2024 Summit, which is going to be on a Royal Caribbean ship, has taken off. I don't mean literally, but we actually booked an entire ship just for us. We started selling it already, and believe it or not, it's selling out fast. People want to come by themselves. People want to bring their team. People want to bring their families. Remember, there's a kids club there, and there's also an adult-only pool. So you can watch the presentations streaming throughout the whole ship. Imagine sitting in the pool with a drink in your hand, watching someone speak on tips and tricks to help your practice get better while you're sitting knee-deep in a pool with a drink in your hand. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, you've come to know the kind of meetings we put together, and this one's going to be even more exceptional and even more affordable. Go to opsummit2024.com to sign up now.
One of the things that we set out to do with Vitality was to kind of look at medicine in a different way. And it came out of my own frustration of just fixing symptoms. And I always use the same analogy with everybody. You know, we practice medicine like teaching your kid to drive by looking at the hood ornament of the car. And when we do that, when do we know we hit the tree? After we hit the tree. But that's not what we do. We tell them, look half mile down the road. If there's a tree there, move that wheel just a little bit and avoid it. And so that's where, you know, 15 years ago or so when I started this clinic, that's what the goal was.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Orthopreneurs Podcast. Today, it's our two-time returning champion, Dr. Jeff Galvin. He's coming back for his third time. If he wins, he goes into the Hall of Fame. Welcome, Dr. Galvin.
Glenn, how are you doing?
You know
I
how
I see
I'm
you
doing.
Too much, it seems like. I always see you.
We talk
all the time, but it's always nice to see you. How are things in Dallas these days?
Things are fantastic. I'm feeling good. And thanks to you. And again, that's a great segue, Jeff. Well done.
Thank you.
Because today, we promised people when I was visiting you back in mid-February, I think it was February, about 8 months ago, I was visiting you and you did my whole fitness test. You did my neurocognitive testing. You did my blood work. You did everything. We'll talk about that. We said, you know, let's take your advice. Let's do what you told me to do. I told you I'm going to be the best patient you've ever had and work hard. And then I said, we'd come back somewhere down the road and we'd see what happened. And I was 100% back then comfortable sharing my results, my journey, so people can learn from this. And before we do that, I want to be crystal clear. Number one, so there's never a question. I'm giving you full 100% permission to share the personal health information that we've talked about, to share that on today's show. I have no problem you sharing my blood work results, my DEXA scan, weight loss, whatever you want to talk about, it's totally fine. So nobody out there can ever say, oh, Jeff was sharing something without his permission. Number two, the results we got were kind of surprising in some respects to me, at the very least. And I want to make it clear to everybody listening right now that this has nothing to do with me. I mean, of course, my results are what we're sharing, but I don't want this to be, hey, guys, in this world of social media, look at my new black belt I just got, or look at my kid, or look at what I just accomplished. The only reason I'm having this conversation is because we have my results that I'm giving permission to share to help motivate others to learn from the path I've gone down. So I've shared this with a few people and all I get is great work, Glenn, wonderful job. And that's great, but that's not what we're doing this for. I want people out there to get healthier and to learn from the good and the bad that's come along the way from what I've tried. And so with that, when I came to see you in February, talk a little bit just for a moment or two about what kind of things did you do when I was visiting? Because I've told everybody about you. I have no financial interest whatsoever in your business, but I tell everybody how amazing I think you are, how complete your testing is. And I've had people come to you, many of them, and I've had people who've told me, I don't need to go. I've got a guy or a gal near me who does the same thing. I say, great, if they do. But if you can explain, to have that guy or gal or program near you that does this, what exactly are you doing?
Well, first off, thank you for saving me the $50,000 HIPAA fine for revealing your information.
I think it's $250. I think per violation, I think. So, I mean, we could roll up a few mil here, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I do appreciate. So, you know, and back when we kind of originally talked, going back to when we were at the reunion back a year ago, and we spent till 3 or 4 in the morning chatting in the waiting room of the hotel, one of the things that we set out to do with Vitality was to kind of look at medicine in a different way. And it came out of my own frustration of just fixing symptoms. And I always use the same analogy with everybody. You know, we practice medicine like teaching your kid to drive by looking at the hood ornament in the car. And when we do that, when do we know we hit the tree? After we hit the tree. But that's not what we do. We tell them, look, half mile down the road, if there's a tree there, move that wheel just a little bit and avoid it. And so that's where, you know, 15 years ago or so when I started this clinic, that's what the goal was to do things in a different way. And so what do we do that's different than your primary care doctor, for example? Well, you know, we take a very, very deep dive into things and you experience it. You know, we right. precede people coming by a set of advanced lab work, both blood work, a saliva sample or a cheek swab for an advanced genetics evaluation. We do blood for epigenetics. We do a test called GRAIL, which screens for 50 types of cancers and can predict those things early. And it's particularly, you know, important since we only really screen for maybe a half a dozen cancers. Normally all the rest, we just wait till they get bad enough, till they have symptoms and we discover them. So being able to detect that early is a very valuable thing. Once we do all that stuff and, like, you know, we send a phlebotomist out to the house, get that stuff done, the labs take, you know, it's a very extensive panel of labs, far beyond what your regular doctor would typically do. It takes a couple of weeks for all that stuff to come back. And then when you come to see us in Charlotte, we spend, you know, a good two full days with you kind of going through a lot of different things. The first day here, we do a lot of diagnostics. We send people out for a coronary CAT scan to find out whether or not you've got heart disease or not. And it's too much to go into right now, but the fact of the matter is that stress tests and lab work are really poor predictors of heart disease. And in my emergency medicine career, I'm sure I've taken care of well over 1,000 heart attacks. And I can't tell you how many times I walk into a room and I look at the EKG and I say, Mr. Jones, you're having a heart attack. And the response is, but I just had a stress test a month ago or 2 months ago or yesterday. And the fact is that 70% of heart attacks and strokes are caused by plaque rupture, and that plaque is in the wall of the artery, and a stress test is never going to pick it up. As a matter of fact, an angiogram won't pick it up either. But regardless, the CAT scan can give us information and can predict whether or not you've got that disease or not. We do an EKG. We do a carotid ultrasound looking for blockages in the carotids that may predispose you for strokes. We do a detailed fitness evaluation, VO2 max testing on one day, baseline workout, mobility, flexibility testing, looking at propensity for injury. We do a full slate of neurocognitive testing to find out, are we at risk for early cognitive decline, but also problems with executive function, ADD, depression, things like that. We do some quality of life scoring to sort of figure out how kind of happy you are. We do a DEXA scan that looks at bone density, but more importantly, as we found out with you, is the gold standard for body composition. People can look great on the outside, but if their body composition is poor, it's a predictor of future problems, including, you know, diabetes, heart attack, strokes, and cancer. And so, there's quite a bit more. We do photographs, measurements. I'm sure I'm missing
flexibility, neurocognitive.
Yeah. And, you know, also during that time that you're here, we have, you know, breakfast and lunch here with me every day. And we are preparing that food in a way that's very clean and delicious, as you know, you ate here. And we're trying to do some teaching. We sometimes get people into the kitchen and show them what we're doing for, you know, how we're making all this stuff. We typically have a continuous glucose monitor on. Now we usually put about a week before they come. And I tell people for the week beforehand, go a little crazy, cheat like crazy. And then what we'll do is we'll look at your blood sugars from the preceding week and we'll look at the blood sugars of the 2 days that you're here with us. And it's usually a dramatic change. And it's a good indicator of how quickly you can make these lifestyle changes and how quickly they become apparent in your physiology. And then on the second day, we do a little bit more fitness testing, some more testing, and then we spend, you know, multiple hours going through every one of those results and probably sit here, you know, for 3 or 4 hours with me going through every one of those results in great detail. What do they mean? And very often when people come, you know, they come probably 80% of the time. It's a couple. It's usually a husband and wife. We've actually, you know, had husband, wife, and mother come, or, you know, we've had more than two at a time. We've had to extend the length of that evaluation by a little bit, but we spend a lot of time when we get through all that stuff. What are we trying to do? Well, certainty, clarity, direction. Certainty is, taking all of that information and, you know, answering the question, do you have heart disease? Do you have the genetics that predispose you to diabetes, that predispose you to Alzheimer's? Do you have any evidence of any of those things on your lab work? What's your functional capacity? You know, we're looking at health span. We want, you know, health span is a little bit different than lifespan. If you live to be 100, but the last 50 years you're bedridden and decrepit, that is, you know, that's a long lifespan. It's not a very long health span. What we want are people that are in their 90s that are vibrant, walking around, unsupported, living on their own, sharper brain, you know, metabolically flexible and healthy, not dealing with a lot of chronic medical problems. That's health span. Taking 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds and making them into healthy, vibrant 90-year-olds. How do we do that? We have to look at all these things. We've got to look at it in a different way than your regular doctor does, because your doctor just, you know, you go in, your labs look good. Okay, what does that really mean? Like, you know, that, and it's not nothing against your primary care doctor, but they just are not, they don't have the time that I have. I have, you know, when people come to see me, they're the only people that are here. Other than our, you know, routine follow-ups, maybe people coming in for a weigh-in or something like that, but they get our entire attention, my entire staff, two exercise physiologists, nurse practitioner, myself, my administrative staff, everybody's sort of focused on those people. So they get our full attention for two full days, which is not, I would say, unusual going to your regular doctor.
And I love that. I love the idea that I have a doctor there for 2 days with me to answer every question I've got. But I want to go into that, but just timing wise, because I know we don't have a ton of time today, and I want to be able to hit this. Let's talk about where we started with me, right? So I will tell you, I've worked out for the last 30 years of my life on a very consistent basis, started with a lot of long distance running, a lot of triathlon, a lot of swimming, you know, a lot of 70, 80, 90 mile bike rides at one point in my life. Then my twins came along and my 7-8 hour bike rides disappeared. My 4 hour runs or 3 hour runs went away. And I got into more P90X and at home fitness. And I've done that pretty much 5 to 6 days a week for the last 25 years. And so I always believed that I could outwork my diet, right? I'd always gone fad diets. Incidentally, folks, in the genetic and epigenetic testing, you will find out whether or not calorie restrictive diets are actually something that work for you or don't. Because for, I believe, 90% of the population, a calorie restrictive diet does not effectively work. You become sarcopenic. A lot of bad things happen. I listen, Jeff, I swear.
Yeah.
But in my
I think to clarify that, because sometimes we get a lot of pushback from that, when I always say like restricting calories is terrible for weight loss. And I should probably just clarify that. You can lose weight by cutting calories, but most people are going to lose that weight by losing lean muscle and tissue. And because of the starvation response, calorie restriction tends to make people hold on to their fat and lose their lean mass, which is not what we want to do. We want to do the opposite. We want to add lean mass or at least maintain it while losing fat.
Hello there, entrepreneurs. Sign up for the Orthopreneurs 24 Summit now. We took over an entire ship just for us. And here's the thing. It's selling out so fast right now that the room types are selling out. So if there's a particular type of cabin you want, you better get on to opsummit2024.com right now and sign up. And why are people signing up? Because of three reasons. Number one, it's a boat, which means you can bring your team, your family. Yes, there's a kids club. And yes, there's an adults only pool. Number two, the lineup I have is going to be spectacular. These are not people you're going to see on any other stage anywhere. I dug deep to find the best to help you live your best, most profitable, most productive, personal, and practice lives. And they're going to blow you away. And number three, the type of cabin you want is limited. This is not a hotel where most of the rooms are the same. If you want one with a balcony, they're selling out. You want an inside room to save money, they're selling out. So go to opsummit2024.com right now, sign up for a cruise September 18th to 22nd, and you will have the best CE time of your life. And now, back to the podcast. And that's where, and by the way, that's where we found out that I am one of the 10% where calorie restriction actually works.
Yeah.
Where I could. And I've done every fad diet along the way. Now, I've never been what you would call morbidly obese, or at least never looked that way. Same pant size for the last 6 to 10 years minimum. And I knew I was getting heavier as I hit my mid-50s. But I never felt myself, you know, I'd suck my gut in a little bit, but I never felt like I was fat. Didn't see myself as having a really bad diet. I keep kosher style, which means I never eat McDonald's. I never eat Chick-fil-A. I never go to Pizza Hut or any of these, generally never go out to eat. And my weapon of choice was Cheez-Its, right? I love Cheez-Its, but didn't really eat a lot of candy, didn't eat a lot of cake and cookies. And yet I was approaching pre-diabetes, you know, something that comes along with a Western diet in your mid-50s. I think my A1C was close to 6, right?
Yes, that is pre-diabetes, right?
That
You were hanging out in the neighborhood. You were in a long-term rental.
Yeah, I was in a long-term rental. I hadn't moved in yet, but I was close. Yeah. My body fat. Now we did a DEXA scan, which is the gold standard. People can get weighed in water. People can do pinch fat. People can do all sorts of measurements, but they're all compared against the DEXA scan because that is right the gold standard. And my DEXA scan demonstrated what my college friend Jeff Galvin here told me was I was over fat. We joke about it, but I was at 31% body fat, which was very surprising to me because I had a 33-inch waist. I had a 42-inch chest and I felt pretty fit and a good low resting heart rate, but I was 31%.
For guys our age in their 50s, like a normal body fat percentage, normal on DEXA is about 25%. So we consider 25 to 30 being overweight, above 30 obese. So we were kind of in the early stages of obesity, even though to look at you, you wouldn't know.
Never.
Now, but let me just ask you this, because remember you told me when you came, you're like, but I feel good. Like, so you felt good when you came here.
Yeah. I felt good. I could work out. I was, you know, I progressed all the way to a brown belt in martial arts and in karate. I mean, I did try. Everything felt great. I never had a problem with any of this stuff.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel now?
I feel good. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy because I always feel good, but I will tell you there's two components of how I feel because we haven't discussed what happened. I figure I'll save that until we're done.
Okay.
But I was 31% body fat. And more concerning to you was I was 3.8 pounds of visceral body fat. And as you taught me, anything above about 2.2, about a kilogram, puts you at significantly greater risk for long-term issues like heart disease, stroke, diabetes, metabolic
cancer,
all these things. And so we sat there. So I'm 31% body fat. I'm 3.8 pounds of visceral body fat, the fat that sits on your organs, basically. And you know, not feeling great about my fitness level, you know, you put me through the fitness level and I did okay. But then again, I was up till 3:30 in the morning talking to you and did everything in one day. So it wasn't a really great test for me, but we talked about my diet. We talked about the fact that for me personally, you were going to put me on a semaglutide, which if you want to explain to everybody what kind of drug a semaglutide is.
So, you know, that's, you know, Wegovy or Ozempic, which we've talked about. And we've used that medicine as a tool along with metformin and others for a couple of years now. We were using them, you know, we're always on the cutting edge. So we were using it way before it became popular. And the reason we use it is because, you know, when we combine it with all the other stuff we do, it's very effective in improving insulin resistance. And so you were very insulin resistant when we got you.
Right.
And so, GLP-1 agonists like Ozempic or semaglutide and tirzepatide is another one. They do four things that we like. One is that they improve insulin sensitivity. And so we're trying to get insulin is a very inflammatory hormone. It can drive your risk for a lot of problems, including cardiovascular disease. So we like to have low insulin levels. Insulin is a storage hormone. So if you've got a lot of insulin and you had a lot of insulin when we checked your fasting insulin level was high. Right. What we're doing is we're constantly giving a signal to store fat for a rainy day. So if you want to change body composition, you cannot have high insulin and do that. Right. So we want to get insulin levels low. And so by doing the nutritional things that we did, by increasing your protein, by adding the fitness stuff, all that played a role. The reason we use some semaglutide with you is because it does have that effect of improving insulin sensitivity and also improving leptin sensitivity. And leptin is a hormone that drives appetite and gives your body some permission to burn fat. And also it has some effect on GI motility and gastric emptying that lowers appetite. So it's a nice adjunct. The problem we're seeing now in our clinic is that we're seeing a lot of people are coming to us that their primary care doctor put them on Ozempic and they're coming to us. And what are we finding on DEXA? They're sarcopenic because what are they doing? They're just not eating. And they're losing all this muscle mass. And so they're actually
you and I had a friend I had a friend who called me. Remember, I connected. I'm not going to say him or her. I connected them to you because they had gone to a doctor who'd put them on Ozempic. And we'll get into what happened. But essentially, they lost a huge amount of muscle mass and they were dead tired. They were tired all the time because they were losing muscle mass, not the fat. And you get on a scale and they're 15, 20, 30 pounds lighter, but a large part of that is muscle mass. And to finish the story, you put me on Ozempic and you made it clear to me, we're going to change your diet. You're going to get into a more of a keto-like diet, something that's going to be a lot less carbohydrates in your life.
And remember, we pick it based on your assessment. Right. So I'm not guessing. So because you're insulin resistant, we put you on a lower carbohydrate protocol because you're insulin resistant. Now, if you weren't, we would potentially do something else. So it's not like a one size fits all.
No.
But, you know, and I always tell people, you know, people ask me, like, why do you have such high success rates? And I'm like, because I cheat. I don't guess. I do all this assessment and I've got all the information. I know exactly what to do. I know what the physiology is because I have all this data. So
the answers to the test. You have the answers.
Exactly. I've got the answers to the test. Exactly. I'm not guessing. And so we have, you know, extremely high success rates. The only people that are not successful are the ones that don't, you know, we know when people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Right. Those are the only ones that don't do well. Because again, I'm not guessing. It's I'm not the world's smartest doctor, but I do know how to read the labs and I know what they tell me. And we set those protocols based on that assessment. And we have so much data. And that second part, that certainty part is the testing. The clarity is sitting down with me and kind of talking about it. And then the direction piece is like, hey, this is what this data shows. And this is what we're going to do to fix it.
I'm just upset you're not the world's smartest doctor.
Well, you know,
I need to go to them.
Yeah, you probably do.
But again, because I know we don't have a ton of time today because it's on me and my time constraints. And we'll always follow up with a little bit more of this later. But Jeff said to me, number one, I want you to gain muscle. I want you to lose fat. I want you to lose visceral body fat. I want you to get better insulin response. I want you to be able to manage your blood sugar in a much better way. And so what we ended up doing is I went on a keto diet. And we'll get more into that in a moment. But I went on a keto diet. I went more into more resistance training and more level two. We're not going to get into the whole story right now with the level two because it'll take forever. But more low level aerobic activity.
Yeah, zone two aerobic exercise.
Zone two, right, to help build my VO2 max and all this other stuff. I went on a keto. I went on a semaglutide to help manage my blood sugar and reduce appetite a bit. And
we call it, you know, we don't really refer to it as keto. We call it functional nutrition. Functional nutrition means that we're setting nutrition based on your own individual physiology. So in your case,
in my case,
that's what it looked like.
Nutrition was
and what we're trying to do is we're trying to make you very metabolically flexible. So when you're eating that way, you can easily switch your metabolism to do whatever. You were kind of stuck in this carbohydrate centered, and that's why you were developing insulin resistance. Now you're very metabolically flexible. And, you know, were you to eat a carbohydrate loaded meal, you'd be able to tolerate it very well. Right. Your blood sugar would go up and would come back down. It would normalize right away. You would not have any kind of long-term problems with it.
And the big takeaway from all of this are two things. One is for me and one is for the listener. For me, it was that Jeff said to me very clearly, I don't want you to lose weight. That's not the goal here. I want a redistribution of your weight. I want you to have more muscle mass to increase your metabolic rate, right? More muscle is good for you. And as you get older, more muscle is key. And you wanted me to lose fat and visceral fat. And number two, for people out there, the first response I hear when I say I went on a keto-like diet was, I can never do that. I can't give up pasta. Can I tell you, folks, with the little push of the help of the pharmaceuticals that you're getting. Oh, and he put me on testosterone replacement therapy, right? Not the go down to your local TRT center and the guy goes, oh, you're low here. Take this dose, slam. It's titrated specifically for me, for what I needed based upon what my numbers are. And my concierge doctor here in Dallas, who I also use, saw the numbers and said, yeah, you know, I would probably go a little lower than he's going, but it's right in the right ballpark. And then Jeff explained to me why he put me where he put me, and it made perfect sense. And at the end of the day, I went for a DEXA scan exactly 6 months after I left Jeff. And let me tell you, folks, Jeff's concept is live your life 80-20. Now, at the beginning, you need to be a little bit harsher. You need to be more dogmatic or you're not going to see the changes. But after you hit a certain level, you know, you can level up and go out for the weekend and have a nice meal. Don't eat a stupid lunch, but what happened? But I didn't. I cheated 3 days in 6 months because I told him I want to be your little science experiment. And at 6 months, we got on the DEXA scan, and I went from 31% body fat to 13% body fat. I went from 3.8 pounds of visceral body fat to 1.4, I think it was.
1.4, I think.
1.4 pounds of visceral body fat. So I have immediately reduced my long-term risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, all the bad stuff because I reduced it. And in terms of A1C, where did I get to?
4.2.
5.2.
Well, I think the last one we had, we went from 6.2.
I was at six, I think.
Six. The first one, the last one we got was 5.2, which is.
Yeah. Great. So I went from pre-diabetic, having a long-term rental in the village of pre-diabetic to not even living in the same community as pre-diabetic.
Not even visiting via.
Yeah, I'm in a different state. You know, if pre-diabetic is Texas, I'm not even living in Oklahoma. I'm up in Chicago at this point. So the point in all of this is, oh, by the way, I lost 34 pounds of fat, 34 pounds, people, of fat. I lost a three-year-old. Okay.
This is 10 pounds.
Yeah. He's holding up 10 pounds of fat.
He lost 3.5 of those.
I lost a 3 or 4 year old, right? I lost a. I'm going to get a 4 year old sculpted of fat and put it in my room as a reminder. And then I gained 17 pounds of muscle. So my net loss was 17 pounds. So you might say, oh, you went from X to, I don't remember what my initial weight was, but let's call it 185 to 168. Great. You lost 17 pounds. I can do that in my sleep. The key is, I don't see it, but people who haven't seen me in a while, I was at the pool like, holy crap, dude, you know, you're shredded, you're whatever. And I'm saying, I don't see it because I see the weight loss. But you asked a question earlier, as we start getting close to being done with this particular episode, which was, how do I feel? There's two components of that. Number one, there's actually three. One, my eating habits have changed irreparably in a way that I know you're not happy necessarily, but I don't feel the need to cheat anymore. I know cheating is healthy, but I cheat in my own way. I make a keto-based cupcake myself. So every night I'll sneak a cupcake or two that are keto. They're made of almond flour. They're made with, you know, erythritol or some sort of non-glycemic index sugar. And most people would eat it and go, it doesn't taste so great. For me, that's all I need. I don't want to go to a restaurant and have a dessert anymore. I don't go to a pizzeria and feel like I need to eat tons of pizza. It's changed my habits in a monstrous way, in a way that I know you'd say, Glenn, go eat 80-20. I can't. I physically can't go eat 80. I don't want to eat 80-20. The idea of going a pack of M&Ms doesn't really do it for me anymore. I just need a little bit of sweet and I'm fine. Right. Number two, physically, I'm faster. My brain is thinking faster. I'm moving quicker. My joints hurt a lot less. I do jujitsu a lot now. And so I'm always in pain somewhere, but I can't even imagine I'd be doing it the way I used to be. Right. And the third part of it, which I think is the part that is my favorite, is the self-esteem part. And I guess for everybody, it's different. I was never morbidly obese, and God bless people who are 100 pounds overweight and are happy to go to the beach and take their shirt off and walk around to the beach and be really comfortable in their skin. I was never that guy. I just wasn't. I could be 10 pounds overweight and I'd still feel self-conscious about taking my shirt off or walking at the beach. It just was who I was. I can't tell you why. I guess I could go into more therapy and get an answer. But but now that I've lost 34 pounds of fat and I've gained 17 pounds of muscle, I was at OP Summit and I had a day ahead of time getting ready and I had an afternoon free. And so my partner in crime, Doug Shaw, and I, we went to the like every stupid idiot, we went and did the slide. We got the tubes and we went tubing because we're dummies. And I, for the first time in my life, I took my shirt off and he looked at me. He's like, holy crap, dude, what happened to you? I go, what do you mean? He goes, dude, like your shoulders are huge. I mean, people were coming up to me and saying things at 55. And I got to
you had me come and speak to the RD group and, you know, nobody knew who I was, but we're walking around and people kept coming up to you and going, Glenn, what are you doing? And
I know.
And, you know, the other cool thing for me is that, you know, I had several other patients at the summit that were getting the same kind of treatment. You know, they were
Just, they were 4 or 5 months behind me. And they're like, I'm going to get there. And
well, I mean, people were coming, you know, I was meeting with people that have come to do evaluations and just sort of following up, and they're all like, dude, everybody's talking, like, you know, ask me what I'm doing. And I'm, you know,
it's weird to me. And that to me is the best part of all of it is, you know, beauty comes from within. And I would never have looked at you and said, you know, I've got a self-esteem issue. I didn't. I felt comfortable with who I was. I could walk into a room of people, but I wasn't comfortable doing certain things or looking a certain way. And I'll tell you now, it's nice to look in the mirror and feel really good about myself. And, you know, life is life. Time is going to come on. Age is going to happen. And it won't be like this forever. But I've made up my mind that I'm going to fight the best I can, making great choices in terms of living that, as Peter Attia says, as you say, as Andy Huberman says, of creating a health span for myself that allows me to hopefully reduce my risk of cancer, reduce my risk of diabetes, reduce my risk of heart disease, and to do it in a meaningful way that also makes me look better. And right. So
we want to see that tree down the road and just make that little course correction and avoid crashing into it with minimal effort.
Exactly. And again, we're going to do a follow-up on this one where we dive a little bit deeper into some of the things in blood work. What are we looking for that, you know, like, because again, if you look at my LDL HDL, you go, wait a minute, Glenn, this doesn't look so great. But then you look at my triglycerides or you look at other
reactive protein and the fact that we know you don't have any heart disease.
Right. So and you look at all the really, other stuff.
Right.
And I want to dive into that in the next time we do this, because we did the first one as two parts, and I know I didn't have a ton of time today.
Yeah. But the other thing is, you know, I think we're also at a point now where we're now transitioning from fixing things to what do we do next?
Yeah.
The senolytics, rapamycin, like the anti-aging therapies, the biohacking, the really crazy stuff that I love, that we've got to get people sort of dialed in first. You can't start in there. You got to fix everything first, but we're there with you. So now we're getting ready to start the next round of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to be the best patient you got, Jeff. I promise.
Yes, I know.
But again, I want this for everybody who's listening to this. I just want you to know it's not easy to take that first step. You know, you're happy in your lifestyle. That's how you ended up where you are. And even if you're working out 6 days a week, even if you're generally eating pretty well, maybe you're doing triathlons, but you're drinking, binge drinking on the weekend. As Jeff said, and I have to run, but as Jeff said, and you said it perfectly, the first time we talked a year ago at my daughter's, you know, visiting day at college, because we went to college together, Jeff and I, we were at a fraternity reunion. You said it best. If you fire a gun at a range, at a target, 100 yards away, and you're off by 1 degree, you'll miss the target by 6 feet. And isn't it easier to address that bullet that's going off target sooner when it exits the gun than when you're 5 feet? When you're 5 feet away from the target and you're 6 feet off target, you're not going to get it to ever hit the target. And if that proverbial target is your health, is it easier to address it when you're 30 years old or when you're 70 years old? If I could have gone back in time and changed this when I was 35, I can't even imagine what I would feel and look like now at 55. And maybe how much more I would have extended my health span.
You would have looked like your AI avatar at the summit.
For everybody out there, just know the reason for this conversation is to educate you and let you and motivate you, hopefully, that maybe you do have someone like Jeff in your community who can do this. And maybe you don't. But Jeff, if someone wants to reach out to you, how do they get you?
Easiest thing is you'll put up our website, but you can email me at drgalvin@vitalitymwi.com or info@vitalitymwi.com. Either one of those will get you to us.
M is in Mary, W is in whiskey, I is in igloo. MWI.
Vitality Medical Wellness Institute.
There you go. And so sorry, I got to end it now, but I promise everybody we're going to have a second one of these. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into a few of the myths that you might be hearing from your physician that actually have been scientifically disproven. Don't believe me? Ask Dr. Galvin, ask Andy Huberman, ask Peter Attia. They will explain it to you as well. And number two, I'd like to get into my blood work a little bit so we can talk about reactive ApoB, all the other fun stuff that we've got.
The other thing is, Glenn, if people have questions, maybe they can put it in the comments and we can answer some of those questions next time.
Yeah, it'd be great. Really be great. So when it's post, any questions you got, throw them down.
Or email me.
Check me privately or reach out to info@vitalitymwi.com and we'll get these things answered in the next episode. So Jeff, can't thank you enough for being here, brother.